I've loved the series that us as a church we've been looking at over this last little while, which is There Is More. And there is more to the Holy Spirit. And I totally believe that. And I believe it's not just a series. I believe it's something that we'll never graduate from. There's always more to experience of the Holy Spirit, always more to learn about Him. And I loved how Nick last week, if you weren't here, brought an amazing word on, you know, he asked the question, what are you full of? You know, and, you know, he used the example of Peter, that before the Holy Spirit, you know, he was filled with himself, probably fear, denied Jesus three times, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and was able to get up in front of the same people that crucified Jesus and said, repent, be baptized and be filled with the Spirit. And I thought that was really powerful. And I loved how Sarah the week before as well talked about the day of Pentecost. It kind of brought us along that journey. But I love the analogy she used of like when you actually have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, that sometimes it's like, you know, touching an electric fence and you just get this like vault of energy through your body. Your body just doesn't know what to do because when something supernatural happens in a natural body, sometimes your body's like, I don't know what to do. And or the other analogy she used, which was like, hey, sometimes, you know, Jesus will put you into like a Jesus sleep where he can do surgery on your heart, you know, and you might fall over when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, which I'm like, oh, so beautiful as well. But one thing she actually said, and I'm not sure if you caught it when she was talking about the day of Pentecost, and she said, there's actually a lot more to it as well than just the day if you want to be a little bit nerdy. And church, if there's one thing about me is I'm a big nerd, okay? I'm a very nerdy individual. I love my superheroes. I love my Lego. I love my Star Wars. Shout out, Tony. Let's go, bro. It's going to go up, I promise you. It's all right. I know Disney's, it's all right. It'll turn around. But church, I wonder if we can get a little bit nerdy this morning about the day of Pentecost. Is that all right? Are you with me? We're going to get a little bit nerdy about the day of Pentecost. So I'm going to start with this question. And it's, have you ever been in the presence of someone and as a result, your behavior has changed? Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of examples in my life. One happened when, you know, I was in Bible college and I was in the presence of my now wife, Tatum. And so as a young man, you know, trying to pursue her, I don't know, like I'm very grateful. I've got a family with lots of girls and I feel like I've got a pretty decent confidence in talking with girls. But when it came to Tatum, the one I liked, it was just like, my words didn't make sense and my brain just melted. It was like, I could talk to anyone, but when I tried to talk to Tatum, it was like, good, how are you? Yeah, good. There's like, it was her presence. It kind of transformed the way that I was thinking, the way that I was acting and speaking. And there's actually another time I think about of my behavior changing in the presence of someone. And it was actually, does anyone know the famous boxer, Manny Pacquiao? Okay, Manny Pacquiao. Wow, not many Manny Pacquiao fans. Guys, he's fighting in a couple of weeks. You should get on that. He's amazing. He won a world title in six divisions. He is like an outstanding Filipino boxer. I actually had a Filipino in the last service who said, you really spoke to me when you mentioned Manny's name. They love him, okay? In the Philippines, they love Manny Pacquiao. And so what happened is one time he was fighting in Australia, in Brisbane, all right? Big title fight. It was huge. And what happened was my parents were senior pastors of a church and my dad wakes up on Sunday and gets this call saying, hey, giving you a heads up, Manny Pacquiao before his fight is coming to your church. And so what ended up happening is like, you know, Manny rolls into the church and he's got like his whole entourage, like his security guards, like these big bodies, just like five or six of them just rocking up to the church and they're huge. And I remember saying to my dad, Dad, I don't ask much. Well, I did. I definitely asked for a lot. But in this moment, I was like, Dad, I'm not asking much, but can you just get me in the room? Like, I want to have a chat with Manny Pacquiao. And so like, it was crazy. Like when Manny Pacquiao was there, it's like his presence, everyone was like trying to take photos of him. Everyone's trying to interview. The poor guy is just trying to worship God. And it's just like, everyone's just trying to find a way to, that was his presence. But I remember after the service, Manny was like with his entourage crew and they were in this back room and my dad's like, hey, follow me. And so I opened the door first and you could see all the bodyguards which like, who are you? And then they saw my dad and it was like, oh yeah, you can come in now. Like you're fine. And we've actually got a photo of it, of me meeting Manny Pacquiao. There I am. All right. You can calm down. All right, I know. I learnt, you know, just work with the hair that God gives you, all right? Don't try straighten it. Don't try put gel in it. But there's Manny Pacquiao, short guy, but huge hands. But really nice guy. He's the man as well. You can take that photo down now, please. Don't distract everybody else. But it was amazing how my dad's presence being with me opened doors for me to get into. And you know, sometimes I believe it's the same with the Holy Spirit too. That His presence can transform our lives. It can transform the way that we speak, the way that we think, but also kind of helps us access things that we wouldn't be able to by ourselves. And, you know, I think it's really cool that if we look at what the word Spirit means in Scripture, it comes from this word Ruach. Okay, Ruach. Everyone say Ruach. Ruach. Yeah, you got to get that in there, okay? But if you want to find out more about that word, you can look at the Bible Project. But one of the meanings of that word, ruach, for spirit, actually means personal presence, the fullness of one's presence, which I think is really cool too. And so what we see is that God's presence, His spirit, would fall upon certain people and empower them, selected people, to do amazing things. Like we see in Scripture that God's Spirit would fall upon people like Joseph, who was able to interpret amazing dreams. We see God's Spirit fall on the first creative, Bezalel, to create and with wisdom to do amazing things in the tabernacle to honor and so people could worship God. And we also see God's Spirit rest upon amazing war leaders like Joshua, who was able to take the Israelites, and you know, I'm not sure if you guys have heard the story of Jericho, right? Amazing, but the Spirit, it says, rested upon him. And then the Spirit rests upon the prophet so they can hear what God is saying and speak it out too. So if you're wondering, okay, where's the first mention of the Holy Spirit? Like, is this just a new idea? Like, what's the go? Well, let me tell you where the first mention of the Spirit is. Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to turn to Genesis 1. Okay, there we go. And so if we look at it together, like, why don't we turn there? And it says this. Here we go. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So what was the Spirit doing in the beginning? Well, we see He was creating life, but also He was bringing unity to a formless place as well. He was bringing a formation to, as it says there, a formless place. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing. And so we continue to read on in Scripture. And as I was talking about before, the Holy Spirit would rest upon and empower certain people to bring life and unity to different places. But the Holy Spirit would also reveal Himself in tangible ways, in physical expressions. And what do I mean by that? Well, thank you for asking. We're going to find out together. If everyone wants to turn to Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, okay? And so up until this point, the Israelites, they're out of slavery from Egypt. God's provided manna for them. And God's pretty much given them a heads up, saying, hey, I'm going to make you a set apart nation from the rest of the world. You are going to be my favorite. You're going to be favored. I'm going to reveal myself to you. So you better get ready. Okay. You got to get ready because I'm about to reveal myself to you. And this is where the passage takes place. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. I tried doing the sound in the first service, no laughs, not doing that again. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Listen to this part. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. All right, just like lighten up Mount Sinai. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So we see in this moment, God Himself, His presence was descending like fire on a mountain. And we actually read later that pillar of fire was also then moved to the tabernacle, where they would worship. And so it was like this pillar of fire represented the presence of God. And we even see after this passage that God gives the Israelites the Ten Commandments as a way for them to continue to be holy, because God's presence by fire was with them. Okay, everyone clear with that? But have you ever thought this question? Why fire? Why did the Holy Spirit express himself through fire? And I think there's a couple things that we can take a look here and see. You know, we see that fire, its presence, it's unmissable. It's powerful, okay? There's this almost reverence about it, you know? And everyone knows when there's a fire about. It sounds funny, but when people yell out fire, you're more likely probably to get people to come and look at the fire than run away from it. And, you know, I think of this story back when I was engaged, and I had the privilege of being a part of the Alpha Youth Series and filming that. And so they were filming it in Melbourne. And so me and my six other friends who were part of the production, they were very nice. We do like all days, like a whole day of shooting and filming. And then they would put us up in this really nice hotel, which was lovely. And they gave us a budget for food so we wouldn't starve. Makes sense, right? But you know, me and my friend were staying, and he was also engaged at the time. You know, being the visionaries that we were, you know, just the really smart-minded people, we thought, you know what? Instead of using the money every night to buy takeout and to go to a night place, what if, because you know, we've got marriages, we got weddings to pay. I know my cousin over here, he understands what's going on right now. He's about to get married, but it's like, you've got a wedding to pay. I'm saving every dollar that I can, right? And so we thought, we'll go to like the equivalent of like Pack and Save, all right? In Australia, we'll get all the reduced items to cook and groceries. And then we're just going to cook every night, okay? And so we start off, and him and I were like, do you cook? He's like, no. I'm like, okay. He's like, I was like, do you cook? No, I don't. Okay, great start. And we thought we'd make the first meal like any man makes, and that's a steak, okay? And so we start to put this thing in the fry pan, heaps of oil. You know, what could go wrong? Then all of a sudden, you know, it's sizzling. And I'm like, hey, Johnny, I'm having trouble seeing you, bro. Like, is it just me, or is it getting like super foggy and super smoky here? And little did we know that we had to turn on the exhaust fan, okay, for the steak so this it would actually capture all the smoke. So as a result, all of a sudden we hear a ooh, 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 in our hotel apartment. And it was so smoky and bad that like you had our friends who were staying in the apartment all the way down the hall. They were running out. They're like, whoa, guys, is that smoke coming from you guys? Like, we can hear the alarms. You know, safe to say we're very grateful the hotel didn't burn down. But Tatum now does all the cooking in our household. So thank you, Tatum. It's awesome. But when there's a fire, everybody knows. Everyone can see. It is so strong as well. And it's the same with God's presence too. See, there was a holy reverence. There's this respect when it comes to fire. Like, you think of a little kid, right? You know, with fire, you don't teach them that fire is bad, but you do teach them, hey, don't just chuck your hand on the fire. Otherwise, your hand's going to blow up. Like, it's just not going to, it's not great. And so there has to be this respect. And God was saying the same thing, that, hey, my presence that I've represented in fire, it's not a joke. You've got to keep yourself holy. You've got to set yourselves apart, which is why he sent the Ten Commandments. So he's saying, hey, my presence, I'm with you, yeah. You're my favorite nation, yeah. But hey, there's got to be this respect here, because like I said, fire is powerful. Fire is unmissable too. But you know, fire, it's contagious too. And so I'm going to speak a bit about that in a moment. But it's cool, because then after this, year after year, the Jewish people, the Israelites, celebrate this moment, and they call it the Festival of Shavuot. Someone say Shavuot. Shavuot, S-H-A-V-O-U-T. I'm sorry if you're Jewish and I offended you. I apologize. I think that's how you say it. But this festival would commemorate the time where God's presence came in a pillar of fire, but also where they received the Ten Commandments. And so they'd gather together year after year after year, and they would read the Ten Commandments out to each other, and they remind themselves, wow, how amazing that God revealed himself and his presence in fire. And so do you know when that moment took place? It was 50 days after Passover. So now if we travel together to Acts chapter 2, right, the day of Pentecost, Let me just read out the first line for you here. Are you ready for this? Acts chapter 2, the first verse. Here we go. Second verse. It says this. When the day of Pentecost came, pause. The day of Pentecost, that is 50 days after Passover. So it's the same festival that we saw God was talking about, fire, same thing, but just now all these years later. And instead of it being the Passover, guess what? It was 50 days after Jesus had died on the cross. And so now let's read this again now with the lens of having Exodus 19 in mind. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now we read that, but it's not just wind like, ooh, the one you hear outside your window. Ooh. No, it's like, ooh, it's like a tornado. It's a loud sound. And I'm not sure about you, but that reminds me a lot of Exodus 19, right? When it says there were sounds like loud trumpets as well. Are you catching me? Verse 3 says this, then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4, all of them were filled by the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. How amazing. In Exodus 19, God's voice, and he spoke to Israel. In this instance, God is speaking through us through his Spirit, which I think is awesome. And then we go back. Where there once was one pillar of fire, what does Scripture say about that? Why, bring that passage back up. Acts chapter 2, what does it say? It says this, they saw what seems to be tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them. So what does that mean? That means that God's presence, which once resided on only a select few, now resides on all of us. His presence and his fire that used to be in one place now rests on every single one of us. And so what does that mean? Is that important? It means everything. It absolutely means everything. It means that spirit, you know, that only rested on Joshua to see victory in Jericho. That's with us. That spirit that helped Joseph to determine what dreams meant, that lives with us. That spirit that helped Bezalel create, that is with us. That spirit that helps prophesy, that is with us. And how amazing, right? That we see it in the form of fire. Because here's what's cool. God in Exodus 19, he used the Ten Commandments to set his people apart. Guess what he uses now to set us apart to the world? The Holy Spirit. His presence that now resides on each and every single one of us. And so now, church, this is what I want to encourage you, is that it's the fulfillment of everything Ezekiel prophesied. Because Ezekiel prophesied, and he said this, God wrote the laws on stone, referring to the Ten Commandments. And he says, but there will be a day through his Spirit where he'll write the law on our hearts. So can I encourage us now that as we go out into our communities, we are bringing the holiness with us through his Spirit, through his Spirit. And so can I encourage us, you know, as we sing those songs, you know, set a fire down in my soul. It's not just a pretty little imagery. Oh, Holy Spirit's a fire. No. There is deep, deep symbolism that we see in Scripture behind fire. Why? Because fire is powerful. Fire purifies. Fire is noticeable. And so too is the Holy Spirit that rests in us and dwells in us. And so to finish it off, I love it because if we go back, let's go all the way back to Genesis 1. What was the job of the Holy Spirit? His job, right? We saw it, was to bring life and unity to dark places. Guess what he's doing today? He's using us to bring life and unity to dark places through the Holy Spirit. So can I encourage you that it's you. You know, if you see friends who are struggling with someone, guess what? You carry the Holy Spirit to bring life and unity into that situation. If you've got friends who are struggling and are hopeless, guess what? You carry the fire. You do. You carry the fire of the Holy Spirit to go out and to make a difference in your workplaces, in your university. It's you. And how amazing that God would involve us to see a world transformed, to see life and to see unity. That gets me excited. I don't know about anyone else. I get passionate about that. I am so, so excited by that. But hey, I'd love us, church, as I invite the band back up now. We're going to stand. So can we all stand in this place right now? And so here's the thing. It starts with us. It's amazing. the Holy Spirit now, not just on only a selected few, but can rest on all of us.